From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Overlooking historic Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, live from NPR Studios, this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. News, information, literature. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Allison Stewart. It is Friday, April 4th, 2008. And as I was coming to work this morning, I had this intense mixed feelings. There's a Barnes & Noble in my neighborhood,
yeah,
which is closing. And they've been talking about it was going to close forever. And this morning they had the big paper up on all the windows. And
which is unusual, because usually you think of small independent bookstores,
yeah,
not the big ones.
And yeah. I had a little sad moment for the man of books. Like, I couldn't decide. You know, you see a small bookstore close, and you think you get really weepy and sad.
Yeah.
And then the Barnes & Noble was closing, and I thought, well, should I be sad that the big,
giant because when I hear about that,
closing?
Then I think, wait, are people just not reading anymore?
Well, see, that's the thing, and we're coming to the rescue there with this issue, because what do we have today?
Oh, book club!
That's right, just book club!
Book club, we love the book club.
We have a new book to announce in our Bryant Park Project book club. You will not be buying the book in Chelsea, New York, though, however.
You can get it many other places,
Many other places.
We will introduce it to you later on in the show.
Also coming up on the show, it's Friday, so we do like to take a look at the past 7 days of the events in the war. We call the segment The Week in Iraq. Going to get you some details of things that have been going on, as well as John McCain making the war very much a centerpiece of his campaign. But a couple of comments he's made, they've been pounced on by his opponents. We're going to do a little truth squatting on whether the pouncing is really accurate or not.
Also, a really wonderful performance from the band The Dodos. Their new album is called Visitor, and they were in BPP World Headquarters the other day. Allison got a chance to talk with them, listen to some of their music. That interview is going to come up.
And the good and the bad that will be coming to the silver screen this weekend. George Clooney has a new movie, a period piece set in the 20s. Also, my favorite girl ever, Abigail Breslin, Little Miss Sunshine, in a movie which apparently is not very good.
Jodie Foster's in it, though, too.
I know. So maybe there's hope. We'll talk about it with our movie guy, Daniel Holloway. We'll also get today's headlines in just a minute. But first, outraged politicians, apologetic executives, whistleblowers in tears. What was it all about?
It's about the total failure by the FAA to perform sufficient oversight of its maintenance programs.
That's Congressman Jerry Costello, an Illinois Democrat, at a House hearing yesterday. Federal Aviation Administration officials routinely ignored their inspectors' safety concerns, cozied up to major airlines, and threatened inspectors who got a little too nosy. Now, that's according to testimony yesterday by two FAA whistleblowers who went before the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee.
This all stems from the discovery last month that Southwest Airlines missed a series of safety inspections, which then netted them a more than $10 million fine. Soon afterwards, other major carriers grounded hundreds of planes for inspections. But two safety inspectors who testified yesterday said all these discoveries were symptomatic of a larger problem.
Bobby Boutrous, an FAA safety inspector who worked with Southwest Airlines, said he reported a series of safety concerns nearly a year ago, but the investigation was quickly closed without action. He said the FAA treated airlines like quote-unquote customers and that problems were widespread.
I'm here to report that more than one FAA inspector, along with the FAA management, have been looking the other way for years. No supervisor can do what my supervisor was doing without the support from fellow inspectors, the support of the division management team, who were fully aware of what was going on, and I believe the support of some people in Washington.
Boutrous said the FAA's chief maintenance inspector at the time, Douglas Gawodzinski, was close friends with an executive at Southwest, and Boutrous was eventually removed from his position after Southwest complained. Gawodzinski was not asked to testify because he's considered a hostile witness.
Now, Douglas Peters, an FAA safety inspector who worked with American Airlines, faced similar pressures, he said. He grew emotional yesterday when he described a conversation with an FAA manager.
He then pointed to a picture of my family and say, again, this is what's important. On his way out the door, he made the following statement. You have a good job here, and your wife has a good job over at the Dallas FISDO. I'd hate to see you jeopardize yours and hers career trying to take down a couple of losers.
Nicholas Sabatini, the FAA's top safety officer, apologized to lawmakers yesterday and vowed to conduct a full investigation. And as for the concerns about Southwest, Herb Kelleher, the airline's founder and executive chairman, apologized yesterday for allowing planes to fly that shouldn't have. But he insisted passenger safety was never compromised. The company's CEO said the airline had increased inspections and would take further action after all reviews are complete.
But committee chairman James Oberstar, Democrat from Minnesota, said the problem goes beyond Southwest.
This is not an isolated aberration attributed or attributable to a rogue individual, but rather a systematic breakdown.
And Oberstar said he knows what has to be done.
FAA needs to clean house from top to bottom, take corrective action, hire more inspectors, and give them a safety mission.
You can read more on the story at npr.org. Now let's get some more of today's headlines.